Most of us take the shirt on our backs for granted, never much thinking about a simple piece of cloth. This week, I'm talking to Rose Clack, a spinner and a weaver from Wild Rose Fiber Arts in Hackensack, Minnesota.
It's just a matter of aligning all those threads and then running another thread across it. And that's what makes cloth. And that's how all cloth was made. You know, when people started with raw fiber, they washed it, they carded it, they spun it. And then either someone in their family would weave it or the weaver would come by in his buckboard or whatever and stay in their barn for a couple weeks, weave up all their spun yarn. And your mother or your grandmother would have been spinning, and then someone else would have been knitting or crocheting. You really understand why a piece of fabric was so valuable and was used to the absolute last scrap, because it was super labor intensive to make it.
Rose grew up in Park Rapids with her parents and three younger brothers. Her father worked for Northwestern Bell, and her mother was a work-at-home mom.
And then I went to the University of Minnesota, studied microbiology, graduated with a microbiology degree. So I worked in research all of my career and developed medical devices and did clinical trials and that kind of stuff. Heart valves, brain aneurysm coils.
So like me, you're probably wondering, how does a microbiologist suddenly become a weaver and a spinner? Well, it wasn't sudden. Rose has been weaving for about 25 years.
You know, weaving is really a mathematical kind of deal. It looks like a super complex piece of equipment when you look at it, but knowing that people have been weaving for thousands of years, it's really a way to just make, you know, one thread go underneath another thread and pack it together enough to hold it together. And so once you plan it all out, it's really just a mathematical sort of formula.
Rose's studio is filled with looms and wheels. Her husband's a fire chief in Ohio right now, but Rose is living up here caring for her aging dad. It turns out her husband was fire chief in Minneapolis when the I-35 bridge fell down in 2007.
So that sort of made him, you know, famous in fire chief circles. So he moved to Baltimore for 6 years. Yeah. So I didn't have anything I was doing at that time, so I decided to do my big bucket list item, and I hiked the Appalachian Trail.
It took 2 summers, but Rose completed the entire trail. This woman has many layers. But back to weaving and spinning.
I just was always attracted to it. You know, the joke is that the weaver's handshake is someone would come up to your sleeve and say, "Oh, I love how that feels."
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week I'm talking to Rose Clack, a weaver from Hackensack, Minnesota. Turning raw fiber into cloth involves a number of different skills and processes, but it begins with a hunk of fur or hair or plant fiber.
So, you know, a lot of times you get raw fiber, raw fleeces, and then before you spin it, you have to prepare it so that you can spin it easily. So the carder is a great tool to run. Carding will make a nice, airy, squishy yarn. Holds the air, keeps you warm.
Rose demonstrates the spinning process for me at her wheel.
So I have a blend of fibers here. It has silk and bamboo and merino wool in it. And I'm spinning a more like a thread-like fiber. So when you spin, as you push on the foot pedal, the treadle, it turns the great big wheel around, which is attached to a little wheel that turns the bobbin, which is where all the yarn is stored. And a spinning wheel is really a machine that makes twist. So if you think of it in a physics term, it builds up energy in the yarn, and when you let go, that twist or that energy goes back into your finger. It's kind of a walking and chewing gum and patting your head sort of exercise. So when I teach spinning, I always have people go home with their little spinning wheels and just practice trundling so that they can push on the wheel and keep it going without having to worry about what their hands are doing. And they always think I'm joking, but until they start. So I can just do that for hours and hours. It's a very calm thing to do, very relaxing.
Once the thread or yarn has been spun, it moves to the loom. Cloth is born from two sets of threads stretched across the loom.
This is an upright tapestry loom. This is a big 8-harness cranbrook loom where you could do the finest scarf or the heaviest rug. 6 feet wide. They're both 6 feet wide. So this is called a table loom. So you move the harnesses. Give it a little beat.
Spinning and weaving are ancient arts made new and current by people like Rose. She's had some interesting requests of her art.
Yeah, I have people who, want me to spin for them, or I have some dog hair that needs to be spun up into yarn for someone who had some beloved pets.
The fabrics taking shape on Rose's loom are items that people will wear or use and treasure for years, and not take for granted as just another scrap of cloth.
There's a small movement afoot that is gaining, interest, where you spend your time and your resources buying clothing from someone local, where you can say, I know who wove this garment, and I know what the animals' names were that they came from, and thinking about, having one piece of clothing that's super, nice that you can wear for a long period of time instead of 10 t-shirts that you throw away after, and it's a way of using your local resources and honoring your local artisans and not being so wasteful in your processes. So
with the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.